All right, wonderful, wonderful worship. Thank you guys for all that you do to make that so wonderful. Joey, thank you for your leadership. Let's see, as we're all getting settled, I'm going to get into, we've got an election upcoming, as you all know, and we don't do probably enough talking about this. The reason I don't typically is because politics can get into the soul so fast, you don't even know what's happened. We can get angry about it, can't we? And we can get upset. I can. And so, I, when I come before you, if I go there, I know I could get us all riled up, you know. We could get in the soul, and we could let it fly, and we could be mad, and we could call our enemies, you know, for the fire to fall. Just like John and the disciples, you know, and God would say, hold up now, what spirit are you of? So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. However, it is a very important thing, and so we do want to discuss it. We do need to pray for our leaders more. That's something I pray we do begin to do more and more as we move forward. But just to talk a little bit about this election in particular coming up, and that's going to kind of segue us into the thing I feel God, or that we have scheduled to talk about in Heritage, which is about image today, the image of God and the purpose of that. As you guys know, voting is our right and responsibility. It is something that it's a privilege and it's an honor, and we need to do it. It's a responsibility for us to do that. The government that we have today was crafted by very wise men who understood that man is fallen, that we are empty at the core and we've lost connection with the divine creator. We're fragile, we're fickle, we're manipulatable, we're in pain. And because of that, they constructed a government that had checks and balances. Of course, it was also constructed within the framework of a right and a wrong with absolutes within it that is totally out of the Bible. Okay, that's what our original framers constructed, that form of government. The problem today is that there are far too many people in the United States that do not believe that. They believe that man is basically good, and that because we have evolved through time and become so smart, that now we can move forward into socialistic forms of government. We can kick down all these, this framework of absolutes, because there aren't any, and we're smart enough now to guide ourselves into the future, into a new brave world in which man reaches its zenith and the greatest days are ahead. They really believe that, and there's a lot of people in America that do. And that's a problem when this is the truth, and there are absolutes, and there are amazing consequences for violating principles that just are what they are. However, man will do what man does. And what I want to say is, as I think through this and have always thought through this, I think about, oh gosh, I want this person to get into the office so that they'll do X, Y, and Z, and things will be better if we have the representation that we need. And that's what our form of government is. It's a representation of the people. And there again, in lies the problem. Our government is representing the people. So the problem isn't the government, or necessarily the person that we elect into office. The problem is the people who don't know the truth, who don't believe the truth. And unfortunately, that who rings back around to us, God's representatives on the earth, who are to be living in and representing God and proclaiming this, not pontificating it with just nice little truth statements, but living in it, the power of it resting on us in such a way that our words and our actions are self-evidently from a living God. See, that's what we lack. That's the problem. And so as we move into this week and we elect a new president, gosh, the thing that has been ringing in my heart is, Lord God, more Jesus in me at any cost. I don't know what's going to awaken the church to what we must be on the earth. If it's a godless leadership that's just saying no to the Bible, no to Jesus, Jesus is not welcome here. We don't believe in those things. We're going in this direction. I don't know if that type of leadership is going to wake up the church faster. But one way or the other, we're sliding into socialism, folks. It's coming. Unless the church awakens. It's the people that are the problem. It's what they believe. It's what they don't know. It's what they've not seen. It's what there's not a witness for them to change their thinking into anything other than what they've been told. And so again, it just who rings around to us, God's people. You know, the church is the ecclesia, is the New Testament word, the called out ones. And interestingly enough, ecclesia is a political term. Came out of the Roman world. The ecclesia, it's a governing body. That's what the church is to God. We are God's representation. We are the leadership of this planet. We are the ones who have been created in His image in such a way we could be so full of Him that we stand in a leadership role explaining to everyone else what the truth is and how this all works and who it all came from. So it becomes critical that we surrender to the King of Glory who is present. And so again, it comes back to me. I look at myself and I say, oh gosh, Paul, we got to have more Jesus. We got to have more Jesus. This has got to happen at any cost. At any cost, more Jesus. We've got to have it, folks. And today what I want to try to plant in you, in your heart, as it is being planted in my heart, is that phrase, Lord Jesus, more of You at any cost. There is no cost that could be compared. Paul said this, there's sufferings. The sufferings that I endure, that Paul endured, facing a government that tried to shut him down. He said, the sufferings that I have endured are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed, that is being revealed in me. You can't compare it. So there is no cost, there is no suffering that you could possibly equate to the glory of Christ in us, our hope of glory. There is no cost. And so I would say to you, brothers and sisters, go and vote your conscience. It is your right, it is your responsibility. Vote according to what Scripture clearly says. Whatever candidate aligns with this word, do that. But please understand that that does not determine the future. So don't think your candidate can win and you can go, oh, phew. That is not the case, folks. More Jesus in us at any cost is what has to happen. And that's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to find how to get more Jesus in us at any cost. And now is the day and the time for that. So as I have said my piece about where we are politically, It's crazy, but this is where it's sliding. The church must come to life. We must stop worshiping idols. We must stop arguing with one another over theology and who is right. There is far too much of that going on. So much division is just brought about with non-essential issues. Now, who is Jesus? There's an essential issue. But these things all far down the line that we got to just separate over, it's ridiculous. It's far too much of that. Thirdly, just having a desire to leave this planet before the work is done. We are called to have dominion. We are called to represent the Lord, to be salt and light. We've got to step into our union with Christ. And I'm so encouraged by the fact that that is the invitation to you and me now, union with Christ. More of you, Lord Jesus, at any cost. And it's not God holding out on us, guys. He is not holding out on us. It is an inner surrender to Him and who He is. And each and every one of us can do that right now, today, in some form or fashion. Getting out of the past and getting into the future. So I'm excited about where we sit today. And that's just a little preview of where we're going. So let me stop there, though, if you guys would pray with me, because it is very, very important. God has used this nation to bless the earth. Not perfectly, obviously. Oh my goodness, not anywhere close to perfectly. But still in truth, it has stood through its existence and blessed the earth. And so we ask God to do more here. So if you would just pray with me. Father, we lift up to you this great nation that you have brought to birth, Lord Jesus. It's a miracle if you look at our history, many of our original documents, even those who came over on the Mayflower, they just wanted to serve the living God and see the kingdom of heaven come through their lives and all that they suffered and all that they sacrificed just to see the Word of God come to pass in them and through them. And Lord, with that seed planted on the east coast of this great nation that was beginning to come forth, Lord God, you spread through this land with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Word of God mixed with the Spirit of God in human flesh, giving new life and birth from generation to generation, Lord God. You have done so many wonderful things in this nation. And it is yours, Lord God, ultimately. The whole planet's yours. So this nation is yours. Lord, we surrender it to you, Lord God. We know that you desire for righteousness with not only within your people, but in your governing bodies, Lord Jesus, that you would be known and that we would live before you in righteousness and in holiness and with justice, Lord God. And we ask you, Father, as we move into this election for our nation, the presidency, Lord God, we call for righteousness in our nation. Lord Jesus, we call for a mighty move of the Spirit of God across our land, that people, each and every person, would understand their right, their responsibility. Lord, especially those who know you, Lord God, the living God, may they have no excuse not to exercise their responsibility to choose a candidate that is as closely aligned to your word as possible. God Almighty, I pray that your Spirit would just flood the land of awakening. Lord, awakening your church, Lord Jesus. Awaken your church to who you are, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we lay at your feet this election. We know it doesn't change you as being the King of an unshakable kingdom. And you are the unchanging person. But Lord God, may we see righteousness come forth in our day. And through this week, may we see the hand of the Lord at work in everywhere, from the top to the bottom, and especially here, Lord God. For we may have not total control over who is president, but we do have control of our own lives and hearts, and we can surrender fully and wholeheartedly to you and see you lift us up with greater glory than we could ever imagine. And we do pray that you do that here in our hearts, Lord Jesus. And so we give you this great nation that is yours, and we give you our hearts here today, Father, and we ask you, pour your spirit out on us, and we trust you with these things, Father. May we walk with you in these days in greater and greater union. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys, and please be praying as you, I know you will be. Man, it's so important. I'm going to be in Genesis 1, 26 and 28. This is a familiar passage of Scripture that I've been over a million times, which only makes me know that God wants us to get this. Because we teach this way in repetition. Repetition is the mother of skill, and God wants us to understand that He made us in His image. What is the purpose of it? Is today's message. What is the purpose of God creating us in His image? Why? So we're going to be in that. God's original plan in Genesis 1, 26 and 28, and it says that, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, what we're looking at quickly first is the word dominion or rule. It's the Hebrew word mashal. It's there in verse 28. Dominion or rule. It means to manage, to steward, or to govern. So we are the manager, the steward, the governors of this powerful planet. Adam was God's mediator, His go-between, His representative on the earth. Psalm 115:16 says, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has assigned or given to the sons of men." That's that Hebrew word assigned or given. It's usually translated given, is nathan. It's given or assigned. So, God didn't give away the ownership of the earth to us, but He did assign us the responsibility of governing it and representing Him. So humans are given this assignment. Now this gets back to the purpose of the image bearing that we're going to be working on this theme. Genesis 2:15, if you look over at the next page there, says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it." That word "keep" there is shamar in the Hebrew. It's to guard and protect. It's to be a watchman. Adam was literally God's watchman or guardian on the earth. Humans created in God's image and likeness are on this planet to represent God. Now let's look at this word "represent." To present again. To represent. A representative is one who represents the will of another. The dictionary definition helps us with this a little bit. It says to exhibit the image and counterpart of, to speak and act with the authority on the part of, to be a substitute or agent for. Now that sounds just like what the scripture says was Adam's job. Now, here's the issue with this. This is no small task to represent God. It is a massive task. Therefore, to help us carry this task out, God makes us like Him. Okay? He makes us like Him because we had big shoes to fill, and He had to be a part of that, a big part of that. So He makes us in such a way that we could connect with Him deeply. See, union is the point. Now, God made us adequate for our assignment because He made us in such a way that we fit Him in a relationship. Okay? That's the purpose of it. Genesis 1:27, "And God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." As I've said many times, this word "image" is tselem in the Hebrew. It means shadow or a phantom or an illusion. Now, we've talked about this quite a bit. The shadow is as a person moves, so their shadow moves. That's the whole issue, that God wants to be doing things with us. He's the leader, we're the followers, but we're in rhythm with Him. It's like a beautiful dance that's in a rhythm. He leads and we follow. Or that illusion capacity. We were made to look very much like Him. This likeness, we'll get into that. Now, He did this for us because of this task that we had that is so big, to run this planet. The word Selim. And again, I've said this many times, but I don't apologize for repeating this. In John 15 or 5:19, Jesus said this very thing. He says, "For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." It's a perfect description of Selim. That's what Jesus came back to show us. He's the prototype of this original purpose. The image bearing, the likeness is there so that we can do this. The potential, the invitation, the capacity is to be filled to the fullness of God. It's amazing. And that's what Jesus did. He took on the yoke of His Father. See, it's not our power, it's God's power. We get in alignment with Him, we go where He goes. So that's the invitation. The word likeness in Genesis 1:27 is demuth. The root word there is dama. It means to compare. Comparable. I'm not trying to make us into something like who God is. That's ridiculous. Don't think I'm going there. I'm just saying this is what He made. Okay? This is how He made us. It's what it says. Psalm 8:5 says, "Yet thou hast made Him a little lower than God, and dost crown Him with glory and majesty. Thou dost make Him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under His feet." Now, as you look at these words, glory, He dost crown Him. That's man. He crowned man with glory and majesty. That is dignity and worth. That's another way of saying it. Just great value. This special treasure that God has, man, created in His image. God wanted a relationship so deep that we did it all with Him, alongside Him. That's the original language. Now, the glory of God. Let's talk about that for a minute. The glory of God in the Hebrew is kabod. It literally means heavy or weighty. Now, this is linked to the word authority, and it's also linked to responsibility. If you're talking about the glory of God, you're talking about responsibility. And that's what we have, responsibility for this powerful planet. The glory of God that was placed upon us to do this work alongside Him is heavy. It's extremely heavy. The responsibility is just overwhelming. Now, we still use this picture today when we refer to someone who carries a lot of weight. You know how we'll say that? That person just, they carry a lot of weight there. They got a lot of weight with them. That's authority. Adam carried the weight on the earth. That's what God made him to do. Adam represented God with full authority. He was in charge. And as long as Adam was in right relationship with God, who supplied him with the wisdom and the discernment and the power to accomplish his enormous responsibility, it was heaven on earth. Of course, we know what happened there. Adam fails. It's a failed stewardship. Gives his authority of the earth, his stewardship over to a real enemy. There is real evil that is at work, that has an agenda, that is doing what it does, stealing, killing, destroying. That's been turned over. Now, what happened to us humans in that moment is, there's a place within us that God is supposed to be filling, and when that was no longer there, when the Spirit was removed, oh, the pain. Can you imagine the pain? We actually can, because we feel it every day, that pain. Now, what I've heard that being described of as is like phantom pain, people that have lost a limb, they'll talk about this. Let's say they lost their arm. And they'll have a phantom pain. It's a pain in an arm that's no longer there. So how do you get to that kind of pain? Now, why do they have the pain? Because it's supposed to be there. We have these phantom pains inside of us. It's so, so strong. These things, we were created to have union with God. We were created to be walking with Him. And now that He's been removed, the pain in here is so great. Where once a river of life was supposed to be flowing, now a vacuum is sucking anything, everything. Make it stop, is what humans are crying out without saying anything. Make it stop. Let me try this, let me try that, let me try anything and everything that we do try is what is, it's what an idol is. It makes the pain worse. It increases it. The darkness gets darker. We don't know which direction is up or down. We're lost. And in pain, and so much pain. Oh God, the pain is so great. It's a phantom pain. I was not made for this. I was made for You, Lord God, but we don't know this. We don't know that. And so we get ourselves into a world of hurt, don't we? Guys, we have got to give grace to one another for the world of hurt that has been inflicted upon us from the time we were young. All the way up, we have got to give grace to one another in our own unique story and the mistakes and the pain and the sin and the shame that we have carried with us all through our story. We've got to give grace to one another. It's so painful, this phantom pain. And praise God, if we found Christ Jesus, He comes in and He begins to deal with that and begins to work in that, begins to bring healing to that. But how many of y'all know that's a journey? And in that journey, please, may we please be grace-giving to our brothers and sisters who make mistakes, who still sin. Why do we sin? Because we're in so much pain. God, help us. Come, Lord. More Jesus. Now, what heals this thing? That's why I'm saying more Jesus at any cost. At any cost. More of Him in me. Please, Lord God, fill this place in me. Fill this place in us, Lord God. Oh, God, I'm telling you, He knows the pain, guys. He knows the problem. He knows the enormity of it. He understands, I promise you. That's why Jesus did what He did. That's why He suffered the way that He suffered. He knows, He understands. He went the extra mile and beyond to deal with this if we'll just let Him in. Let Him have what is His, which is all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our pain, and aim this part of us to Him alone. Gosh, I've spent so many years struggling with worshiping this idol and this idol and this idol and this idol, trying to grab a hold of something. Oh, it's got to make it better. Got to make it better. Praise God, He has helped me through those many years and those struggles to the point now where I can aim this thing at Him and say, God, You fill it. No, You fill it. Just You. I've already done that. That doesn't do anything. I don't want it anymore. You fill it. Yourself, You fill it, Lord God. God, get me back to that original order, that original likeness and image where Your river's coming through me and this is healed and whole and true and strong. And God, give that to my brothers and sisters. We need You, Lord God, to heal this wound. And He wants to, and He has. He forgives, guys. I'm telling you, it's okay. Do you know your whole story, though? Have you visited where you've been? Have you thought about what's happened? Does anybody know your story? You know, you can help someone else with your story. What you've overcome, what God's overcome in you can set someone else free. I continue to say this because it's so powerful. It's so important that we walk this journey together as brothers and sisters. Being as Christ to one another is the invitation. It's the privilege. It's the honor. It is the greatest honor I can imagine doing with another person, helping them become free. It is an amazing privilege. And I want all of you to have that. All of us should have that. Becoming better and better and better at seeing one another made whole in Christ. Oh my goodness. It's so hard, isn't it, to be a human? The fear of the Lord to me at this point is this powerful planet that we are living in that has all of these principles that are just, they are what they are, like gravity. We gotta watch gravity. Guys, if you don't keep your feet, you're going to end up on your face. Right? We're created in the image of a being of truth. That means if you don't tell the truth all the time, it's like violating a principle, just like with gravity. You're going to land up on your face. You're going to bruise it up. You're going to mess it up. You're going to get yourself in pain. You're going to have more fear. You're going to compound this issue. That's the fear of the Lord to me, that I've been created in God's image. Oh, God, help me. Those are two biggest shoes to fill. Lord God, I've got to have you to fill that. Lord Jesus, save me from this planet and from myself. That's the fear of the Lord, guys. It's not God ready to just get over here and I'm going to take it out on you. You know, we've presented God that way. Like he's just, like, you better run. And we are so broken inside. We know all the things we've done. We're just running around. I've lived my whole life just waiting on the hammer to fall. When's it going to fall? I know it is. It's got to be coming soon. You can't live that way, guys. You can't thrive that way. You're just going to survive. Run around, do religious activities. Hide all of your problems from other people. We got to grow up. We got to grow up. We got to catch on. We got to get into the family. Start working the power of God. Here's what Jesus did for us. But God, in the midst of all of that, but God, Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. Can you believe that? It's the truth. That's Romans 8:3. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Oh, thank you, Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8 says this. He says that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were not looking for him, he came, he pursued, he knows, and he gave to bridge the gap, to get his love into the place that will make a difference, so that we can stand up as image bearers, as representatives once again on the earth, so we can be healed and made whole and stand strong and tall and powerful and represent him. Not with a bony finger, but with a love and an understanding of the pain that people are in, to get them out of it, to represent his love, to do the very same thing here, to have the same spirit in us. John 1:12 and 13 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." He lets us become born anew. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Jesus came so that you and I could become new, brand new. He says, "Behold, I make all things new." You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new, he says. Now, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 15:45. Then it goes on to say a few verses later, "And just as we have been born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." And just as we have born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. See that word image? Jesus came to do an incredible, miraculous work in us. He is a life-giving spirit. He now gives us reconnection to become the image of the heavenly. Now, this is Christ in you and Christ in me. What? Our hope of glory. That we could stand underneath the glory of God, the kabal, the weight of our responsibility on this earth. What is our responsibility on this earth? To represent him. well enough that people would know him well enough that we could have a government, a framework of truth until he returns. That is the call that's on the church today, guys. Today, we've got to wake up to that call. We are image bearers because that gives us the ability to step into who he is so that the kabod of the glory of God could rest upon us so we could stand up in that responsibility and get that job done. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into what? The same image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. Guys, we are being transformed. Let's get into transformation. It's so exciting. The power can come. Guys, we just had power surges this week on this campus that blew out some stuff. We couldn't have church Wednesday night. Do y'all know what the power surge can do in a moment? If we just caught this. If the eyes of our heart got opened, if the light just shone and the power surge came, it's dunamis power, the Spirit of God. What could happen in you and in me, in us? It's going to happen. Why? Because this word is true and we're going to believe it. Just open up your heart to the possibilities. It's the same image, guys. We get to get in the shadow of the Lord. Whatever he's doing, we're doing. He's doing awesome things, guys. He's not doing pitiful, weak, hypocritical things, is he? No. God is God. He's the King of glory on this earth. He wants us to follow him into great things. Representing him well is what he wants. More Jesus in us at any cost must be our tagline. Must be. At any cost. Lay it all down, guys. Lay down the idols. Lay down the arguments. Lay it all down and be filled with him. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. To the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called, justified, and glorified. More Jesus at any cost. He wants us to step into him so he can do a powerful work through us in our day. Jesus stands here today, guys. I told you last week, I really feel this. In fact, as I did prayer around the church this week, I would go out. I went out, started walking and just praying and blessing the campus and declaring God's word over it. And it was like Jesus was standing there with that sword drawn. And he's like, let's go. And I don't mean to minimize that, because if that were to happen, I probably would. You know, Jesus with his sword drawn is the most terrifying being there is. There is not a being more terrifying than that. And he's not my buddy. Okay? Now, Jesus the Lamb, I know Jesus is my friend. Close. Loving. But when Jesus shows up with his sword drawn, it is not fun time Jesus. It is dead serious Jesus. He's come to do something very serious. So I'm not saying that flippantly at all. I don't mean to, but I'm just saying, Lord Jesus, okay, I'm seeing it. You're here. That means I get behind you and I take this seriously. This is your will, your way. It's none of this my anything. It is all you, Lord Jesus. I bow before you. I surrender. Let's go. Tell me what to do. I get behind you. Jesus is here today and he's got his sword out. Just think about this. I heard a guy say he had a dream one night and Jesus was standing in front of him with his sword drawn, and he had his sword tip right to his heart, to where the tip of his sword was right on his heart. And then Jesus said, step towards me. That is the circumcision of the heart, guys. That's what he's asking of you and me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Walk uphill to your own death, to your own crucifixion, so that resurrection life can come through us. We've got to step to Him. We've got to impale ourselves on that sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. It's Hebrews 4:12, sharper than any two-edged sword. It circumcises the heart. What's that for? Union. John 15:7 says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you, and you can ask whatever you wish and I'll do it for you." Doesn't that sound like great news? Well, here's the issue. What do you want? What would you ask for? When I was younger, I'd ask for all kinds of things. You know what I ask for now? More of you, Lord, is all I want. That's how that verse comes to pass. Finally, we understand, all I need is more of you. If I got more of you, I'm going to be a better everything. I'm going to represent you in every way, in every role, in everything, and all I do will be done better when I am full of you. So all I really need is more of you. With Him comes the wisdom, comes the discernment, comes the power, comes the Spirit of Christ. It comes everything. You don't need anything else. You can learn whatever you need to do if you got that coming through you. So that verse can come to pass, guys, I'm telling you. Focus in on that verse. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you, and you ask whatever you wish, and I'll do it for you. Lord God, give me more of you. I just want more of you. More Jesus at any cost. That's the thing we're called to. And let me give you a couple of verses here, and then we're done. Ephesians 2:18. This is the church, and this is something I've been seeing this week. I got so excited about it, seeing what God's calling this church to. Ephesians 2:18, if you want to make a note of that and look at it, meditate on it. Ephesians 2:18, it says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." He's building us together, guys. He's bringing forth a holy temple in which He supplies all of it to all of us. That's the purpose of our image-bearing capacity that God started with in the garden. One more, Ephesians 3:8-18. "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you to do not lose heart. I ask you that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." There's that word again. See, Paul was going through some stuff. Nothing was absolutely right around him. In fact, a lot of things were wrong. He was on his way to dying for his faith. And so we're not talking about a perfect world or a perfect situation. We're talking about an opportunity for Christ to come in him and through him as a witness to the world. And we are in that same boat today. It's the glory of God resting upon the people of God. Isn't that exciting? God's going to do it, folks. So as we enter into a time of invitation, Joey, if you want to come on up here. I know we have one individual who said Miss Karen would like prayer. She's going to come down and we're going to pray for her. But this is a time of invitation. If the Lord has spoken to you in any kind of way, if you'd like to come to know Him, as you feel that phantom pain and you know you need more Christ in you, if you'd like to know Him for the very first time, we would love to introduce you to Him as your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to join this church, if you feel like this is the place where God's called you to join and and you hear the voice of the Lord here, we ask you to come at this time and just present yourself before us. We'd love to just pray with you. If anything else that you would need, please, this is the time of invitation. If you guys would all stand, please.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. And I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
You guys ready to head to the house? Not yet. If you guys would be seated, please, if you deacons would come forward. We want to pray for Miss Karen. You can just go ahead and have a seat there, Miss Karen. Miss Karen's got knee replacement surgery coming this week, and she'd like to have us lift her up. And that is a great idea, Miss Karen. So, listen, guys, I want you guys to know, if you come down here and you're prayed for, I have so many testimonies of things that happen. So, man, what a powerful thing that we can come agree together and God Almighty shows up and does some things. So that's an incredible privilege that we're very grateful for. So, Miss Karen, we anoint you with oil representing the presence of God's Spirit, the power of the living God alongside the living Word of God, the promises. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. He promises to be the peace that passes understanding. He promises for the power of His Spirit to flow out of our innermost being into rivers of living water as we believe in the Scripture and what it says about Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I just lift up Miss Karen to you, and I just pray your powerful Spirit would just overwhelm her. Lord, that you would fill her with your wonderful peace. Lord God, we pray for your presence to be so strong in that operating room that you would grant doctors and nurses great skill and precision in all that they do. Just a freshness, Lord, I pray for her spirit. Although her body and her soul will go under in anesthesia, her spirit will be alive and well, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit of God, I just pray you begin to bring healing to her before the first incision, that you just are on the money with your presence, with your life-giving spirit, with your healing presence and your power. May you hold her and bless her and pour your favor out over her in every way. Lord, I pray that through the struggle of this surgery, where her knee is replaced, Lord God, I pray that Karen would experience your presence in a new way, in a fresh way, that she would know the love and the value that she has in Christ. And I pray she would sense and know the dignity and worth that your Spirit that's crowned over her head gives her. And Lord, I just pray that she's able to get up and go faster, quicker, better in your presence and in your Spirit. And we just ask for the greatest recovery ever. And Lord, we thank you that you hear us and that you're active now. Pray your blessing over Miss Karen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Man, it's good to agree. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So glad to do that. Remember, guys, we've got a community to minister to this evening. Please come. Even if you didn't plan to come, come on out anyway. Let's just have a good time together. It's just more fun with more of us, right? You've got a gift, you've got a piece of God's Spirit that if you'd come and add it to the rest of us, it's better. Come with the right heart, with the right spirit, with a faith, knowing God's here to bless this community and work through this and build this church. Man, it's exciting. So please come on out. If you're not here, pray for us at least. Fair enough? All right. Joey, you got anything? All right. You guys ready to go? Father, I just speak the blessings of God over your people. That is your word and your spirit. Lord God, I pray that it would be highlighted in their hearts, that would captivate them, that they can't stop thinking about it, that they know that you're with them and that you're transforming them into the likeness of their brother, Jesus Christ. Father, we bless you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You guys go in peace.